And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage James Stewart as Phil in Consequence, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
There must be something of the criminal in every man, because it seemed that I knew automatically everything I would have to do and how I was going to do it.
Hotel Wilton.
Dr. Wolf, please. Dr. Theodore Wolf.
Thank you. I'm sorry, sir. Dr. Wolf doesn't answer.
Oh. Well, say, what's the number of his room again? I want to drop him a note.
Dr. Wolf is in 502.
502. Thank you very much. I knew in a big hotel like that, the chances of anyone remembering exactly what Ted had looked like were pretty slim. And I figured they'd give me the key all right, as long as I didn't have to stumble around asking for the number. I let myself into 502 and snapped on the light. I found the plane tickets on the bureau. Then I pried open his luggage and changed into one of his suits. Put on his hat and overcoat, just in case. Packed my own things away. There was a pair of dark glasses on the bureau, too. I put them on. Then I went downstairs, checked out, paying cash. I knew he'd bought the plane tickets at the airport and that the travel clerk in the hotel wouldn't know Ted Wolf from Adam.
Yes, sir?
I'm Dr. Wolf. I've been staying here at the hotel.
Oh, yes, doctor.
I have a through plane ticket here to Ecuador, Pan American, for tonight. I want to turn it in.
Oh, one moment, sir. That's Dr.
Dr. Theodore Wolf.
Pan American? Wilton Hotel. Got a through ticket to Ecuador. Dr. Wolf. Will you take it? Thank you. All right.
That will be quite all right, Dr. Wolf.
And while we're at it, you might as well give me a couple of train tickets.
Yes, sir. Where to?
Huh?
I said, where to, sir?
Los Angeles. We'd taken care of everything. A note to my bank, supposedly from Ted, enclosing Philip Martin's check for $5,000. And a letter in my own handwriting explaining that I'd agreed to lend him that amount. And asking the bank to forward the money to my account in Los Angeles. My account as Ted Wolf. And we drafted a letter to the people in Ecuador. And in Los Angeles, Joe became Mrs. Ted Wolf. And at first, everything clicked. I got the kind of a job a doctor dreams about, where I could write my own ticket and spend at least half my time entirely on research. And Joe started taking courses for a medical degree. After all, she was only 24. And then, right there, right in broad daylight in the hospital, it happened.
Hello?
Joe! Joe, pack a bag as quick as you can. Just enough for two or three days in the mountains. Now, just as fast as you can.
Phil?
It's Gwen. I saw her just now upstairs in the reception room.
Gwen? Are you sure? Absolutely sure? Couldn't it be just a coincidence, Phil? I mean, couldn't Gwen maybe just have happened?
Maybe. Listen, Joe. I've been thinking.
She mustn't know where we go.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe it would be better if she did know where we were going.
If she did know?
I don't know. It may just be a coincidence. But if it is a showdown, the mountains is a better place than most.
All right.
I'll phone the landlady.
Is that safe?
Yeah, Gwen won't talk, not until she's sure.
Carlton Apartments, Mrs. Burton.
Hello, Miss Burton. This is Dr. Wolf. I wonder if you'd do me a favor.
Why, I'd be glad to, Dr. Wolf.
We're going out of town for a couple of days, and I just remembered some friends said they might stop by, and I thought they might like to join us, so I wanted them to know where we were.
All right, sir.
Now, maybe you could just stick a note in our door where they'll see it. We're going to Caribou Lake, and we'll be in the cottage at the very top of the mountain. It's right straight up a dirt road from the lake. They can't miss it.
Caribou Lake, the cottage at the top of the mountain, up the dirt road from the lake. Is that all, sir?
Yes, thank you, Miss Burton. That's all. Thank you. Caribou Lake is nothing more than a general store where you can buy bait and hire boats and cottages. That time of year, there's hardly anybody there except the people who own the store. And the cottage we had was a good 3 miles away up a twisting dirt road running above the lake. But you could see it very plain, even at night when the lights are on. We stopped in the store and both went in to buy what we needed, food, kerosene, matches, things like that. And then we went on up the mountain. By that time, it was almost dark, and Joe fixed something to eat, but neither of us could touch it. We were watching the road for lights of a car. It was about 8:30 when we saw them. And they went on past the store without stopping and came on up the mountain. It couldn't have been anyone else but Gwen.
Well?
Yeah, she didn't waste any time.
What if the car is rented?
No, she'd bring her own. She loves to drive.
Phil, you're not afraid, are you?
No. No, not anymore. I'll go.
Well, this is a surprise.
Hello, Gwen.
Dr. Martin, always poised. Nothing surprises you, does it?
I suppose it was the check.
Partly. Then I happened to notice that a doctor, Theodore Wolfe, had married a Miss Josephine Reynolds in Los Angeles. It did occur to me that your idealistic friend must have been an awfully fast worker. Well, aren't you and your bride going to ask me in?
Come in, Mrs. Martin.
Thank you. Quite cozy, aren't you?
We have been.
Well, I'm sorry to break up your little...
All right, cut it out, Gwen. Now, what do you want?
Why, my dear man, what do you think I want?
And the way things are now, you've got $200,000 worth of life insurance coming to you. Why don't you let us alone?
Philip, I don't know whether you realize how much worry and anguish you've caused me.
Sure, I know. I know. I know just exactly how much.
And perhaps you also know exactly how you stand with the law in this matter. I don't know about all this impersonation business, except it would permanently ruin your career. But I do know that the law is covering bigamy quite drastic.
Yeah, I used to think that money meant everything to you, Gwen. But I guess it doesn't, does it?
I certainly don't feel called upon to accept rebukes from you, Philip, for anything. Not after what you've done. I feel that I'm being most generous to both of you.
All right, now just what exactly do you want, Gwen?
Either you come back and we'll explain the whole thing as amnesia or something, or you both go to jail.
How could you?
Shut up.
Now listen. Just a minute. Now listen, Gwen. Does anybody else know about this?
Of course not.
Nobody knows you came out here or why?
After all, Philip, I do have some pride left. Just that I was taking a little trip to New York to forget.
New York, huh? All right, Gwen. Just give us a couple of minutes to talk this thing over, will you? Alone?
Very well. Although I don't see there's very much to talk about.
Will you go outside or shall we?
I'll go. I'll wait in the car.
Oh, Phil.
It's all right, Joe. I don't mind now.
Neither do I.
Do you think you can do it?
Me?
I'll have to have an alibi.
Have you thought?
I've thought about it. I've thought about it all day. And it's all right. It's good. She'll disappear the same way I did.
A fire?
Yeah. Only I'll have to be down at the store when it happens. This place will go up like kindling. And when they pull her out, they'll think it's you. Nobody knows she's up here. And I'll be there to say it is you.
How are you going to...
I've got it all fixed in the cellar. All you have to do is... Here. Use this hatchet. Can you?
Yes. I will.
And then go out to the car and get on the floor of the back seat, under the blanket, lock it from the inside. I'll probably get away right afterwards.
All right, Phil.
I'll see you in the car, and the whole thing shouldn't take more than a couple of hours.
Phil, you're not afraid?
Are you?
No. I'm glad.
Gwen?
Yes?
Come on in.
Have you decided?
Yes. Well, you might as well eat with us. There'll be quite a few details to talk over.
I'm not sure I feel much like eating in this house, Philip.
Yes, well, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to start back hungry. Give me the keys to your car, will you? It's blocking mine, and I'll go down the hill and get a few things for dinner.
Really,
oh,
Philip?
Oh, will you please stop griping? Now, you've won. Now, give me the keys.
Very well. But I wouldn't try any mad dashes if I were you.
Oh, don't be a fool, Gwen.
No, I don't suppose you would. Alone?
She went in. I took the keys, but first I went around back down the cellar. I put a lot of old newspapers around the wood pile and doused the whole thing with kerosene. And then I cut a stub of plumber's candle and set it on the papers and lit it. I knew just about how long it'd take the candle to burn down, about 45 minutes. Then I went out and I got in Gwen's car and I started down the mountain without lights. And at the drop above the lake, I put it in low and I cramped the wheels and I jumped out. About 40 feet of water. Unless somebody told them where to look, they'd never find the car. Now, all that hadn't taken more than 15 minutes. The walk down to the store took about 20 more.
Well, forget something, Dr. Wolf?
Yeah, like a fool. I forgot my tobacco. I can't get through the night without a pipe.
No, just how it is. Walk down?
Yeah, working up an appetite, you know.
Here you are. You folks have callers tonight?
No. Why?
I thought I saw a car go up your way a while back.
Oh, I saw the lights, but they didn't come up. Somebody must have made the wrong turn. Didn't they come back?
I don't know. I was out for a spell. You see that car come back by, Daisy?
Well, you must have seen it, all right. It was about an hour ago.
Oh, seems like I did hear a car about that.
Sure, that was it.
Yep, pretty sure I did.
Mrs. Dooley don't always see so good, but she hears plenty. Hey, Ma?
Pa, looky here.
Huh?
Pa, look it up there. Looks like a fire.
Say, it is. It is a fire. Golly, Doc, that looks like your place.
Well, it couldn't be. But it must be.
Big, too. We better get up there, too.
Do you have your car?
We'll go in the truck. It's right outside. The boys can bring Ma along in the car. You hear that, Ma?
Yeah. Len?
Come on,
Johnny,
Doc.
Johnny, get
I sure
car.
Hope everything's all right.
And so do I. The cottage was all wood and dry, and it was completely gone by the time we got there. It was the boys who dragged her out of the embers.
I wouldn't look if I was you, Doctor.
Oh,
must
Joe.
Have been quick anyway.
Joe.
She's burnt almost to nothing.
You better go on, Doc. We'll take charge of everything.
All right.
Do you want one of the boys to go with you?
No. I'll get in touch with you from town. I'll make the arrangements down there, and I'll send down for...
Sure. You go on. We'll see to everything.
All right.
Oh, I'm awful sorry, Dr. Wolf.
I climbed into the car, and I started down the mountain. When I was around the first bend, I pulled up and stopped. I reached over with one hand and touched the blanket on the floor behind me. Are you all right, Joe?
Yes, Philip. I'm quite all right.
Gwen. Gwen has never told me how it happened, but of course she killed Joe. We both killed her. And now I know that I'm trapped. I'm hopelessly, irrevocably trapped by the terrible burden of guilt we share between us, as she is. I know now that two people held together by such a frightful bond cannot both go on living, for that bond can be broken in only one way. One of the two must die. And so I write this and place it in the hands of my attorney for safekeeping in order that the true facts be brought to light in the event of such a death. For no matter how innocent it may appear, no matter how natural the cause, how plausible the accident, it will be no accident. It will be murder. Cold-blooded, calculated, deliberate murder.
And now, the local news. Dr. Philip Martin, who has been in poor health for the past 3 months while recovering from an attack of amnesia, died today in his home from an overdose of sleeping sedative. He is survived by his widow, Mrs. Gwen Martin. Thank you, James Stewart, for a splendid performance.
What a performance, Harlow.
Yes, Hap, it's like the performance you get when you replace old narrow-gap spark plugs with wide-gap Autolite resistor spark plugs.
They make an engine idle smoother.
Give better performance on leaner gas mixtures.
Actually save on gas.
Because Autolite resistor spark plugs are ignition engineered.
That's right, by Autolite. The makers of over 400 products for
cars,
trucks,
airplanes,
boats
in 28 Autolite plants from coast to coast.
Yes, sirree. And Autolite also makes complete electrical systems for many makes of America's finest cars.
Batteries.
Spark plugs.
Generators.
Starting motors.
Coils.
Distributors.
All engineered to fit together perfectly, work together perfectly, because they're a perfect team.
The lifeline of your car.
So, folks, don't accept electrical parts that are supposed to be as good. Ask for and insist on Autolite original factory parts at your neighborhood service station, car dealer, garage, or repair shop. Remember, you're always right with Autolite.
And now here again is Mr. James Stewart.
Well, I want to thank Tony Litter and his great cast of actors for making my suspense visit so pleasant. I'm a great suspense fan, and like all of you, I'm looking forward to next week's show when Frederick March appears in Cornell Woolrich's story, The Night Reveals, another gripping study in
suspense.
James Stewart can currently be seen starred in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer production The Stratton Story. Tonight's suspense play was adapted for radio by Robert Richards from an original story by Vladimir Posner and George Sklar, with music composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Leith Stevens. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leader. Next Thursday, same time, hear Frederick March in The Night Reveals.
You can buy Autolite resistor spark plugs, Autolite stayful batteries, Autolite electrical parts at your neighborhood Autolite dealers. Switch to Autolite. Good night.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.